So you remember those improper payments, the thrift savings plan payments last month? Well, a glitch in the software resulted in improper payments to about 10,000 participants. Now the thrift savings board, they're trying to fix that problem. And here with details on that, Tom Trabucco. He's the director of external affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. So, hi, Tom.
Hello, Chris.
Are you ready for Icemageddon, I guess?
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm ready.
I know. We all just breathe deep and we'll be fine. So we had you on when this about 10,000 people, right? Describe the problem and then what you're doing
right.
to fix it.
That's right. We discussed the outlines of this 2 weeks ago when we knew what had happened and had started addressing it. But what we did in the meantime, we completed an incident report, which I provided to you a little earlier today, and which was given to the board members at their meeting last week. So this got some attention in the press last week, and I thought we might go over it again. The basic outline of the issue is this: participants who are separated from service and they reach age 69 and a half have to be, age 70 and a half, have to begin receiving distributions from the TSP. We get through this process every year. We do it in an automated fashion because we're so big. A lot of plans just do it manually, but, we issue normally, we issued 6,000 correctly this year, required minimum distribution payments. Unfortunately, we also had an error in our software that caused 9,721 participants to receive distribution checks who should not have. The funds dispersed to these participants totaled over just $58 million, or about $5,500 per participant. Additionally, we distributed funds to 451 participants whose first RMD would normally have been issued in March of this year. Hmm. We did it 3 months early. It was as a result of the same software glitch. The cause of it was related to the implementation of a new benefit called the spousal beneficiary participant accounts. These are the accounts that surviving spouses may now keep in the TSP if their spouse predeceases them.
Right.
A beneficiary participant may be subject to these required minimum distribution rules. That determination is based on the age that the participant would have been had they continued to live. We had to create new software code to calculate that, and this change created an automatic process for executing RMD transactions for these beneficiary participants, but it was improperly coded. The code caused RMDs to be issued to people who were not separated from service. They were in the same age range, 69, 70, 71, but they had not yet separated from service, so therefore they were not subject to the tax code's required minimum distribution requirement. We became aware of this was all done in connection with our year-end processing. We became aware of the error on the 29th. We decided to notify all the affected participants, offer to take the funds back, and when received, restore the account by adjusting for all investment earnings and
losses. Because if they chose not to do that, there were tax implications, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, remember, these are funds that were dispersed to these 9,721 people from their own accounts. So what they were getting was their own money, so there was no crossing of accounts or anything like that. We had our two phone centers aware of this on the 29th, so they could answer the questions. Basically, the big factor that contributed to the error was that we did not have the capacity to perform an automated test in full production. Integrated, I got to read this because it's one of these.
Right. It gets very technical.
That's right. Perform an automated test in full production-sized integrated text database that would test all changes together on all accounts and run automated reviews of the results. In essence, to plug in something like this, we should have run a test of all 4.4 million accounts and how they would have been, could have been affected by it. We did not do that. We did not have the capacity to do it because we had decided earlier in the budget process not to purchase some software. We saved about $1.5 million in delaying that purchase, but as the press report reported last week, the board, when made aware of this, said, go ahead and make that purchase. We don't want to take any chances from this point out. So we are going ahead to pick up that that software and plug that in so we can run full testing on future changes to the software.
And as far as I understand it, this is essentially almost like a test mode. You can see how changes will impact folks. So you can almost do it in a test version before you actually go out to the real version.
That is exactly right. So we would maintain a test database that has the entire database in it. It's not just a sample of it. And so that way we are sure. So that was one of the lessons that we learned, and the board has come back and said, go ahead and purchase that. We have in this report I told you that I shared with you earlier, we have a number of lessons learned. We need to formalize this process more, get it down to a granular level. Here's one that I must absolutely agree with. Our year-end process right now for us and for any 401k plan is very complex. We should not complicate it further by introducing new things at the year end. We have a lot of year end reports to do, and we need to get those completed before we start to add new complexity. Leave time for emergency corrections to year end processing. We were trying to do these on the 28th. I finished them up by the end of the year. Had we done them earlier, say around mid-month, although it introduces other complications,
right.
We would have had time to come back in a more relaxed atmosphere and deal with it. And then finally, one long-term lesson learned is we're going to expedite our efforts to collect and maintain and use a participant email address database to communicate directly with them. We do have one capacity now that we use, and that is we can send messages into the My Account section of the new website. So that is an improvement, but it's not like being able to communicate with people using their email. Again, that introduces a whole bunch of complications. It's a big undertaking. Just keeping email addresses current, as you probably are aware, is a major undertaking, but we're going to expedite our efforts to pursue that.
Very nice. It sounds like this is, you've gone back and looked at problems that happened and taken action so you don't end up in that place again.
That's right. That's exactly what we have done. And let me add one thing, because this was kind of overshadowed with all the news about this incident, which the complete explanation is all there now for anybody who wants to find it. But we did do our final calculation on expenses for calendar year 2010. And this year, and in 2010, participants paid 24.6 cents for each $1,000 of account balance.
Wow.
Again, a very, very low cost for TSP participants.
I mean, one of the lowest that you're going to find in any similar kind of account.
That's right. Yeah. No, we're unaware of any that are as inexpensive or really even close.
And it's interesting because we get a lot of email about the TSP, and there's always people say, yeah, I like the low price, but I want more options. And it's always, you're always trying to do that balance between having enough options, but also keeping the operating cost down.
That's exactly right. And that's something that actually we have in our charter, in our law, that says we must develop investment policies that provide for low administrative expenses. Because when Congress created this thing back in 1986, they took a good hard look at it and they saw just how much these plans were costing and how much money you can lose. Just as on the plus side, compound earnings over time are the eighth wonder of the world and they grow like crazy, so do compound expenses.
Yeah.
So we try our best to keep them down.
And part of that is, you know, on those years, 2008 comes to mind, when you don't have a great year and you're still paying those expenses. That's, my goodness, that's a hard thing to write out.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. If you're racking up big gains, people don't pay much attention to the expenses. But when you have those down years, they're sitting right out there in front.
Tom Trabucco is the Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.